And it's the Sean Fired the Band. Let's hear for him. No, he didn't fire the band. He just gave him a week off, right? Just do it. It's always great to start off the message with a big fat lie. That's what I say, right? No, but we love all of our in-church, right? We love all of our musicians. We're glad to give you all a week off. That was a new song, right? Disorder and Reorder and, yeah. I said that wrong, right? Reminds me of my life, especially the disorder part. But we thank you all for being here today. We are in part five, I think it's part five of a five-part series that we're calling Reset. And as we've been talking about a whole lot, man, there's been so much talk about this. We're about to move out of the theater. We're about to move into this building that's right there. You can almost see it from out this window. What an incredible blessing this is that God just gave this property to us. Just gave it to us. Praise God, right? One, two, three. Okay, great. No, that's all right. It's kind of baiting for applause. But no, we're really excited. We're really excited about that. I'm at the point where I'm getting, let's just do it already. Do you feel that way? Let's just get in there already. Now, I feel that way too, but we want to make the most of this season. We're here now. We've got like a month and a half or so left here. We want to take advantage of this unique season in the life of our church because we are coming to the end of a season and the start of something new, the start of something great, the start of something wonderful. So we want to make the most of our time that we have here. We're doing this Reset series, preparing to make this move into that new building. And we're using this time to think about who we are as a church, to remind ourselves of what church is really supposed to be, what we're supposed to be about, what we're supposed to be working towards the church. And we spend so much time as a church talking about what it means to be a church. And you know why? Because we forget. We forget, and we can so easily become sidetracked or distracted from different things that we think we should be doing. And so that's why we're doing this series. And so part one and two of this series, we talked a little bit about consumerism and how consumer expectations have made their way into how so many of us Christians, if you're a Christian in the room, so many of us believers think about church. You know, we even have the term church shopping. We go out and we look and say, okay, does this church have what I want? And if they do, I'm going to purchase something from them. We think about it in that way. And that's just a byproduct of the culture that we live in. We're so consumer-focused that sometimes we think that way about church. Like we think of church like it's the YMCA and we go and there are programs there and you pay your membership fee and you put something in there and that's what you get in return, right? You go to your country club church or whatever it is. It's like, okay, I understand where these expectations come from, but church is a group of people. We're a body of believers. We don't go and just pay and have programs happen. We are a part of everything that happens as a church. We do this together. We are one and we are many. We are many. And we are one. I got to stop saying things like that. That's why they call us a cult. What do they say there? It does sound a little bit creepy, but we are one body together. And we believe that about a church, that God has pulled this group of people together and made us a body in a very Dr. Frankenstein kind of way, pulled the pieces together. I know, it's weird when I say that. But pulled the pieces together and made this his body. And we have to be the body of Christ here in our community. And so we talked a little bit on week three of this series about clarity, how important clarity is. If we have a goal as a church, we need to know what that goal is. If we don't know what our goal is, how are we going to achieve the goal? If we don't know what our destination is, how do we plan our roadmap? We need to know what we're supposed to be about as a church. Now, fortunately for us, the guy who created church, Jesus, the Son of God, he gave us very clear instructions concerning what we are supposed to be about. He gave us a very clear mission. And the mission that Christ gave us is to make disciples. It's just that easy, right? It's easy for me to say those words, make disciples. But what does that mean, Jesus? You've told us to make disciples. Well, making disciples is a very involved, life-consuming, time-consuming process. And Jesus said, make disciples, teaching them to obey everything that I commanded you. And so what Jesus doesn't say, he doesn't say, go into the world, go into your community and make converts. Converts? No, it doesn't say that. Because that's not enough. Just sharing the gospel with somebody, this kind of like hit and run evangelism. Do you know what that is? Where somebody just kind of meet a stranger and say, let me tell you about Jesus, say a sinner's prayer, okay, see ya. That's not that's not it. That's not enough, right? Jesus doesn't say go into the world and make people more moral or more ethical. He doesn't say that. That's not enough. Go into the world and make disciples. Making disciples is the process of sharing what we call the gospel message with other people. Sharing the truth of who Jesus is and how much God loves us and he sent Jesus to be our Savior, unpacking that message, which is huge, by the way, right? You spend enough time in a church setting, you just get used to hearing that. But to hear that, to be able to process what that actually means, that's a huge concept, a huge message to wrap your heart and mind around. So we have been tasked with that mission of sharing that message, but it's more than just sharing that message. It's, okay, what about the rest of life on this earth? As you may have noticed, this world is a broken place filled with broken people. Have you noticed that? Kids, have you noticed that yet? Spoiler alert, right? You're going to discover it as we grow up. We discover this, right? How ugly people can be towards each other in our hearts and all the pride and all this stuff that we do to each other. Man, this is a tough world to live in. And Jesus loves us so much. He didn't just die on the cross for us. He doesn't just give us salvation as if that's not enough. But he gave us a way to live. First followers of Jesus were called followers of the way. Before they used that term Christian, followers of the way. There was a way of life that Jesus taught. And he taught us this way of life for our own sake, for our own benefit. How many times over the past 7.5 years have I told you this? God gives us boundaries to live within, not because he wants to limit us, because he wants what's best for us, to keep us safe and to say to us, I love you enough to give you guidance and show you how to live and show you what's dangerous in this world. And that task has been left to us to make disciples. That's part of making disciples, is not just sharing that gospel message and helping people embrace that reality, but also showing them the way of life that Jesus taught us, a way that exists for our own benefit so that we can be fruitful and multiply in this world and experience the joy of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And so making disciples is our mission. There's so many ways that we can get sidetracked from that mission, from that objective. And there's so many things along the way on that road to discipleship, things that we have to do. Yes, we do have to share the gospel. Yes, we do have to do certain things along the way. But we can't stop short of that ultimate goal of discipleship. We can't stop just at, okay, I've shared the gospel, let me stop there. No, we need to keep walking towards that goal, ultimate goal of discipleship. What we're talking about today, service. Service projects, serving one another, and how important that is. Serving one another is a vital step along the path to discipleship. Let me say that again. Serving one another is a vital step on the path to discipleship. It's not the destination, but the vital, vital steps. If you've spent enough time with us as a church, you realize that we put a very big emphasis on serving one another, on service projects, and the reason that we do that is because Jesus, our boss, put a strong emphasis on how we are supposed to be doing this, serving one another. And he taught the same thing in a number of different ways. He said that we are to serve one another, take care of one another. That is the body of believers. We take care of each other. Absolutely, we have to do that because we're a reflection to our community at large and to the world of what it looks like to care about one another. We to serve our neighbor, right? To love our neighbor. Jesus taught us these things. He phrased the same idea in so many different ways. Jesus, what's his number one teaching that he's known for? You can shout it out. What's his number one teaching? You don't want to say it. You're like, I don't want to be wrong, right? What's he known for? What's his jam? What is it?
Golden rule.
Golden rule? In a word, yeah. If you're going for one word, love. All right, good. Love one another. Jesus taught, love one another, right? Now, some of us feel a little bit uncomfortable about what you mean, love one another. And Jesus, when Jesus talked about love, he's not talking about some kind of fondness that you feel. He's talking about taking care of each other. You might say, Jesus, you've taught us to love one another, but I don't even like that person. So what? Take care of them. I'm not asking about how fond you are of that person or how much you have in common. It doesn't matter. Go take care of that person. When Jesus talks about love, he talks about love as an action. Love one another within the body. Love your neighbor. And of course, somebody said to Jesus, well, technically, who's my neighbor? Jesus, everybody's your neighbor. Everybody. Love one another. Love your neighbor. Jesus, just to clarify, said, oh, by the way, love your enemies. Oh, okay. Right? All inclusive. And for those of us who aren't crazy about that love word, ooh, we shy away from the love word. What is it? The golden rule, right? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Treat other people the way you want to be treated. It's that simple. If you were in need, you'd want someone to take care of you. That's it. Same concept, same teaching, phrased in a number of different ways just so we could get it into our heads and into our hearts. Thank you, Jesus, for rephrasing that so many ways. We needed that. And so serving one another is a vital, vital step on the path to discipleship. Here's one. Let me give you a few reasons why service is so important. A few reasons, all interrelated. Here's one. Sometimes we do service projects simply out of obedience. We serve one another, we take care of one another, simply out of obedience. If you're sitting here in this room, and if you're at a place in your life where you believe that Jesus is your Lord, that means he lords over your life. That means he's the boss of your life. And when your boss of your life tells you to do something, you just obey. And sometimes it's as simple as that. Sometimes that's it. That's why we serve other people, because we were taught to, and that's all there is to it. Boom, obey. Here's another reason why it's so important for us to serve one another. Those of us who are believers, when we serve one another, we are actively participating in our own discipleship. It's just about ourselves and our own hearts becoming more and more like the people Jesus created us to be. It's actively participating in your own discipleship. I've talked about that a number of times, specifically from the fall to this point, how we can look for these ways to actively participate in growing in our faith, actively participate in growing in our discipleship, participating in our own discipleship. How can we do that? A number of different ways. We can make worship attendance a bigger priority in our lives. We can pray more. We can go to small groups. We can do all this stuff. But hey, how about this? We can actually do the stuff Jesus called us to do. That's how we become better disciples. That's how we actively participate in our own discipleship. Here's another reason why serving one another is so important. Serving our community, helping those who are in need. It opens doors. It opens doors. And those doors that are open, they create possibilities for more people to become new disciples of Jesus. What's that saying? People don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. Let's show people, right? These acts of service, caring, let's show people we are on your side. As followers of Jesus Christ, we're not out to get you. It's not about conversion. It's not about something like that. We just want what's best for you. We are on your side, opening doors. It's so important. It's so vital. Think about it. What kind of perceptions exist about church? Let's turn those around. Let's serve one another. I'm on your side. It's not about trying to, I want what's best for you. I'm on your side because you know what? We serve a God that's on our side and wants what's best for us. We cultivate the soil. When we engage in these service projects, we cultivate the soil. Now, Jesus talked about sharing the gospel, and he talked about the idea of it's like planting seeds, right? So there are things that we need to do as believers that help prepare the soil so that someone can make sense of the gospel, right? Like I said, the gospel is such a big message. We need to provide some context for that. So that's one reason why we engage in these service projects. It opens the door for new possibilities. I got to tell you a story. Once upon a time, about 7.5 years ago, I thought I had a brilliant idea, all right? Turned out it wasn't great. Did you ever do that? You think like, oh man, this is just genius, and you're patting yourself on the back like, oh, this is going to work. So every day? Okay, right. I guess it runs in the family. That's my mom, by the way, I said that. Every day. This is going to be great. And so it's our very first Sunday as a church, right? And so I decided, here's what we're going to do. We're not going to have a worship service. I'm not going to preach to anybody. We're not going to sing any songs. We're going to go and do a service project. How about that, huh? Pretty genius, or so I thought. And so we found a place locally. It was a rehab center, drug and alcohol rehab center. They needed some work done on their property. And I said, well, we can come. What do you need done? And I was like, I don't know. You can paint. And so a very small group of us, some of you are still with us. I think we've lost about 50% of our membership that day, by the way. Anyway, great idea, right? So let's get in there. And we're going to paint. And so we get in there, and we can't paint because the place is a mess, and there's holes in the walls. Like, first, this place needs to be cleaned. Then we need to, like, fix and create some walls before we can even think about painting. It was a total disaster. It was an absolute mess. And in retrospect, it perfectly set the tone for who we are as a church, right? Disorder, right? And so that was that. But the reason that we did that is because we believe, and I believe this, you do too. You've proven that you believe this. Serving, these tangible expressions of love are so important. And yes, that was a disaster, but we wanted to get this into our DNA as a church. This is who we need to be. We don't want to be a church that talks about service. We want to be a church that actually does the service, that actually gives back to our community, finds these ways to help people. Take a look at the passage that's in your bulletin from Matthew 25. These are the words of Jesus. It's a parable. If you have a Bible with you, if it's on your phone or whatnot, you can look it up. I'm going to read a little bit more than that than is there in your bulletin. Matthew 25. I'm going to start with verse 31. Words of Jesus. When the Son of Man comes, by the way, that's a term Jesus uses to describe himself. It goes back to the book of Daniel and this prediction about a time where, anyway, it's a long thing. Daniel chapter 7, if you want to read about it. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those who are on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. And the righteous will answer him, Lord, when? When do we see you hungry and feed you or thirsty and give you something to drink? When do we see you a stranger and invite you in or needing clothes and clothe you? When do we see you sick or in prison and go visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Awesome. Awesome passage. Also incredibly dangerous. A dangerous passage, depending on your perspective and depending on your background. Now, some of you in this room, you come from a background where you sort of have this idea about heaven and God, that if you do enough good work or if you serve enough people, then you can somehow earn your way into heaven. And so a passage like this is incredibly dangerous to read in isolation without any more context, because you could read this passage and think, well, I guess that's it. I guess Jesus is confirming that I just got to do stuff. I got to take care of other people, and in so doing, I'm taking care of him, and that's how I get into heaven. Well, guess what? Read the rest of what Jesus has to say, and you'll realize that's not the case. That's not the case at all. Jesus explains, and then Paul goes on to further explain that we're not saved by these good works. We are saved for the good works. We're not saved by them. We're saved for them. I tell you what, over the past 2,000 years, I'm not going to solve this today, because over the past 2,000 years, there's been a tension over this faith versus works thing. Right? Some people believe, well, you just need to say a prayer and that's all there is to it and I'm saved and that's good to go. And other people say, well, you got to do the works, and there's a tension that exists there, right? And so there's a danger in reading a passage like this. You think, well, I just got to do stuff and earn my way into heaven. It's like, nah, it's not going to work out. None of us, listen, you know your heart. You know yourself. None of us can rise up to that standard, no matter how many good works we do. Back in the Old Testament, we learned that our good works, they're like filthy rags compared to the greatness of God. Oh, well, that's really encouraging. Fantastic, right? But that's why we needed a Savior, right? And so the other end of it is this. If you grew up in some kind of setting, or if you kind of got the idea in your mind as a child that all you have to do is accept Jesus as your Savior and then live however you want, read this again. No, if Jesus is our Lord, he's the boss of us, and we have to do what he says. Jesus even says to his initial followers, why would you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do what I say? It doesn't make sense. Why would you gather together on Sunday morning singing, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes? Well, do what I say. Stop singing it and actually do what I say, right? It just makes sense. And so here we are. There is this tension, in that, like salvation apart from obedience. I don't want to get into it, right? All I know is that I'm saved by Jesus Christ and what he did for me, and I've been commanded to go and do, and so I do. What else are you going to do with your life on this planet? What else are you going to do? What else are you going to work toward, right? What Jesus gives us in these instructions is something to do that's worth doing. Take care of each other. What else is there? Make a lot of money? Get some fame? I don't know. What else is there? Retire young? I don't know. What else is there in this life? You know the story. You know the American dream. Go to a good school, make a lot of money, get rich, retire, play golf, get sick, and die. Da-da. Come on, there's got to be something more. Jesus says, yes, there is something more. Do my work in this world. Make disciples. Take care of each other. How important this is, how central this is to what we believe. I hope we've proven that to you, that we don't just talk the talk, but we walk the walk. Every Sunday, when you gather in this space, in your bulletin, there are opportunities for you to serve other people. That's part of my job. That's part of our job as a church, is to provide you with opportunities to serve. And so we do that. There's always something in there. There's always multiple options in there. There's usually something new in there, right? Most weeks you come in, oh, there's something new. Opportunities for you to serve. Some of these ways are very simple. Some are a bit more involved, a bit more complex. You can always bring in food donations either for loaves and fishes. You can always bring in food donations for the Prospect Park Elementary School food drive. People right here in our community that are in need, you can always do that. And then there was new stuff today. You can bring in your change boxes. You can pick up a box at the welcome table when they're there, fill it with change, and you're helping kids that you're never going to meet in Liberia get an education. Wow! How awesome is that? That you here in Delco, you've got an opportunity to help somebody around the world. Give them a chance at an education and a better life. How awesome is that? And how easy is that? I don't like loose change in my pocket anyway. I'll take it out, whatever. You know, whenever I'm at the wall, I'll just put it in whatever the thing is. I don't even know what the charity is. I don't want the change in my pocket, right? Look at this. Great opportunity to help somebody who's in need. And we do things like that. But here's the thing. We got to be careful. We cannot overlook the hands-on service opportunities that exist in our community, in our lives. Next Sunday, we're going to have a little brainstorming session, probably in the basement. I don't know. Where should we have it? I don't know. Should we walk over to the new church? Maybe we'll walk over to the new church. I don't know. You can see how organized we are here. But we're going to have a brainstorming session. That's going to go great, right? But we're just going to talk through some ideas. How can we do a better job of serving our community in hands-on ways, right? Not the distant thing where you're sending a check and you never meet the person, but relationally. How can we do a better job of that? Because all these things, the donations, the change, the food, the whatever it is, the Samaritan's Purse shoeboxes, all those are wonderful. But we don't want to overlook the tangible, practical ways to hands-on serve people in our community. And so we're going to gather together. Ooh, and I've got some dreams. I've got some dreams for things we can do. I don't know how possible they are. I mean, there's things around Christmas time. I'm thinking about Christmas a whole lot, right? I don't know why. I'm thinking about things we can do, right? Think about Christmas time, and I would love to see our church adopt some families locally. I know it's like, let's do that hands-on, actually bring the meals over, bring the gifts over. Wouldn't that be great to just do that hands-on thing? If there are people that are in need right here, let's see what we can do to help those people, right? Some of you like that idea. Can we make that happen? I don't know. You tell me. We'll talk about it next week, right? But there are things like that, hands-on opportunities. Now, here's the reality. As a church, we can come up with some options for you. We can. And we can slap them in the bulletin, and we can send out emails, and we can make it all, you all aware of what's going on, but here's what's up. You as an individual, you're going to have people in your life that need something from you. And your church can't really facilitate, we can support you, but we can't really facilitate that. That's for you, right? And I believe this. God puts people in our life. We walk along this path of life, and there are people that just show up that need something from us. And it can be so much easier to drop some change in a box and ignore the person that's right in front of you, can it? Come on. Is it just me? It can be so much easier to help someone that's far away, to help the stranger rather than help your neighbor that's in your face and has a need right there. And so this is the challenge to all of you. If you're at a place right now, we're like, you know what? I consider myself a believer. I consider Jesus to be my Lord. When someone shows up in your life with a need that you can meet, you meet that need. It might be awkward. It might be difficult. Because here's what's up. Some of these needs are not easy to meet. You know, write somebody a check. If you've got the money in your account, easy, right? Well, you need your PICO bill paid? Okay, great. Easy. Sacrificial, but easy. Somebody needs a meal? Give me a break. Come on, we can do that. Lickety-split, right? One phone call to Joy. We've got a meal team showing up there for a month, right? Whatever it is. That's easy. We can do meals. What if somebody in your life needs more than that? What if they need your time? What if they need your encouragement? What if they need you to talk through your faith? What if they need you to share what you believe? They just need it because they've seen you in action. They need some words now, right? You've heard the saying, choose the hard right over the easy wrong. We've talked about that. Choose the hard right over the easy wrong, right? It'd be easier to lie your way out, but choose the hard right over the easy wrong. You know that saying, right? What we've talked about here in the past is we need to choose the hard right over the easy right, right? Our serving one another, our loving one another, it's not about checking a box. Okay, Jesus said to do this, so I'm going to technically have fulfilled my service requirement. No. Now, on a heart level, are we helping the people that are in our lives? It's the same for me. Listen, we're all in this together. So much easier for me to bring in a single serving food donation for the Prospect Park Elementary School, and we're going to do that, and you should do that. But I've got a few people in my life right now that it would be so easy to look past their needs and just focus on somebody that's in Liberia or whatever it is, right? So easy to do that. There's the challenge. This is where the rubber meets the road, to help the people that are in our lives. And so, yes, you're invited next Sunday to join this crazy, disorganized brainstorming session that we're going to have, wherever we have it. Okay, it's going to happen after worship. Have this brainstorming session. But then beyond that, the challenge for all of us is to not shy away from the people who need us, who need our time, who need our support, who need our words of encouragement, to be available to them. This is the church that we have to be. We have to be this church. It's not going to work. Listen, it's just not going to work out for us if we're ignoring the needs of our neighbors and the people in our lives. It's not going to work out. I feel like to some degree, and this is great for me to be able to say this, I'm preaching to the choir because I'm looking around at a room full of people who are doing just this. Just yesterday, we had the youth group led by Pastor Sean went into the city and gave these care packages to homeless people who are in need. That is it. That's hands on. You go ahead and clap loud. I see one person doing like, can I clap for that? Good. Yeah, you applaud that. Absolutely. Hey, can we do more than that? Yes. The answer to that question will always be yes. Can we serve people better? Always yes. No matter how much we're doing, there's always the next step that we can take. Yes. So let's just embrace that reality and let's find our next step. I'm encouraging you as individuals to find your next step, and as a church, we need to find our next step in serving one another, in serving our community. Let me pray for us. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for how you have served us. You know the state of our hearts. You know the state of our lives. And Lord Jesus, you have done for us what we could not do for ourselves. You've offered us forgiveness. You've offered us eternal life. We thank you for your great sacrifice. We thank you for your teachings. We thank you for your example. And so, Father God, give us as individuals, give us clarity concerning the people in our lives who needs help, who needs our time, who needs our words of encouragement, who needs our support. And as a church, give us clarity. What's the next thing for us? The next project, next service opportunity. What can we do to be a better reflection of who you are, Jesus, in our community? We ask that you would give us those answers, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask our band, our one-man band, to come up on stage. And while he's making his way up, take a look at the back of your bulletin. Next Sunday, we are starting a brand new message series called Shifting Focus. I thought about calling this message series the last message series, since it's our last one here in the theater, but I thought that kind of has a negative connotation, so let's call it something friendly, all right? And so we will be shifting focus. We've been in a season where we're doing so much kind of these in-house, it's a term we've been using a lot, in-house conversations, we're getting ready for this big move. We're going to make a big shift during our grand reopening. Easter Sunday is our grand reopening, right? So get out the banner, do whatever we got to do, grand reopening, Hope Community Church. So we're starting a new series, and I just want to really spend some time talking through what this shift will look like, because I've had some questions. What is this going to look like? What is this shift going to look like practically? And so specifically starting next week, I'm going to give you a little preview, a little sneak peek of what's coming on Easter. We are going to encourage you. I am going to encourage you. In fact, I'm doing it right now to invite people to join you on Easter Sunday to get to know your church and, more importantly, to get to know Jesus. And I want to give you an idea of what they're going to experience when they show up on that Sunday. Isn't that an issue we have? I have that too. Okay, I'm going to invite somebody to church, but what's the pastor going to talk about? Is it going to be, you know, that's that kind of thing, right? So I want to let you know what we're going to talk about, what they'll experience, because we're going to start something new Easter Sunday, a new series going forward. And so I'm going to give you a preview of that, and we will enter into our last message series next Sunday. So hope you join us for that. Thank you.